MSP platform vendors have undergone a lot of change in the last few years. The same is true with their partner agreements. But are these agreements too one-sided, and do they put too much risk on the MSP? We're going to talk about these topics and more on today's episode.
You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Good day, everyone. Welcome to the MSP Zone, another exciting episode where we are going to tackle important issues that often don't get talked a lot about in the managed services profession. And that's what we like talking about, addressing the critical issues that need to be discussed and attempting to resolve them as best as we can. And that's how we do things here. I am joined by a guest who's been on the program for a couple times and has been at many countless MSP World conferences talking about a variety of legal issues, chiefly on behalf of the MSP community, who he represents, a lot of MSPs, talking about none other than Rob Scott, partner of Scott & Scott LLP out of Dallas, Texas. Rob, welcome back to the program.
Good to be with you, Charlie.
Okay, so a few ground rules, right? We're not going to mention names of companies. We're not going to shame anybody or any corporation here, but it is an important topic. And let's set the stage, right? The RMM, the ticketing, the backup, the security vendors, there's been a lot of change, a lot of consolidation, and a lot of good things, mostly good things coming out of that market. They're really innovating, unlike they ever have in previous years. And that's positive for our profession. We've had a couple of hiccups here and there, but one in particular, you know, we've had some security incidents within these technology platforms that has caused some angst amongst the MSPs. And lo and behold, that translates, maybe not directly, but over time, it has influenced the type of agreements that MSPs are being presented when they go to market and say, I want to buy an RMM platform, or I want to buy or change a ticketing platform. And now they're presented with an agreement that might not be in their best interest. First question, Rob, is what wouldn't be in their best interest as an MSP in that agreement?
Well, the biggest concern that the MSP has to confront is a security and privacy related concern. If they are using the platform and deploying the agents from the platform in their customer environments, and there is a security vulnerability that impacts the customer's privacy and security, then that creates a huge risk and concern, not only reputationally for the MSP, but also from a legal perspective.
So they have to be worried about risk. They have to be worried about security and privacy. Most MSPs probably look at that and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to go and do a technical due diligence, a technical deep dive into this vendor, talk to some of my colleagues who are MSPs, ask them about the platform. But that's really about it. You're talking about something different. You're talking about a legal review. And it reminds me almost of the kind of big cloud platform vendors who have these very one-sided, you know, contracts that basically are take it or leave it. You absolve every, you know, you take on all the risk, we take on nothing. I mean, is that what we're looking at?
Well, that's exactly the concern, which is what are the terms and conditions of the RMM platform as relates to risk balancing for issues that arise that create privacy and security claims? So those types of provisions could include the indemnification provisions. They could include limitations of liability. They could include exclusions of responsibility. They could include, you know, putting risk on the MSP or its customers. And so what's really important as part of the vendor due diligence process is to not only evaluate the technical capabilities of the tool, but you need to be evaluating the differences between the tools that you're looking at when it comes to the terms and conditions. You know, which vendors' terms and conditions are fair, and which vendors' terms and conditions are in the very one-sided and take it or leave it area that you describe as part of, you know, being characteristic of public cloud. And the terms and conditions matter, maybe even more than some of the technical bells and whistles. As an MSP, I would be very concerned about entering into a relationship with an RMM vendor where my basic service delivery platform is going to be based on their solution, but they're not going to stand behind it if my clients have claims that are caused by their software. And you have to look very carefully at the agreements that you're entering into to make sure that as an MSP, you're not getting put in the position of being in the middle where the vendor is taking the lion's share of the revenue. You're basically, you know, coordinating for the customer to provide, you know, tools, and for a small fraction of the total revenue, you're bearing a substantial portion of the risk.
So let's take an example here. So I'm a young MSP, maybe I'm a mature MSP, and I'm just switching tool sets or adding to my, I'm expanding my tool sets. And I go to one of these vendors and I get the agreement, and I already have done my technical due diligence. I like the product. It works. It does exactly what I'm looking for it to do. And then the contract comes. I'm assuming these contracts are not weighted with an equal distribution of risk. I'm assuming they're very favorable to the software vendor. What are some immediate first things that you would advocate, or put it this way, what would you do if a client came to you and said, "Hey, Rob, I'm really concerned about signing this this product. I like them, but what should I be looking for?" And what would you start to look for? A couple examples.
Yeah, so the first thing you want to look at is the agreement. You know, is it clear? Is it clear what the agreement is? Who's taking responsibility for what? And then when you start digging into that, you're going to be looking at things like what happens if something goes wrong? And the types of provisions that tend to be risk balancing provisions are things like indemnification, limitation of liability, exclusion of liability, could be exclusions of responsibility, so like things that are excluded. And it could also be things where the RMM provider is specifically allocating the risk to the MSP. You know, provisions that say, like, you're responsible for your end user's use of the software. We're not responsible if there's a data breach at a customer site. You know, those types of exclusions of liability or shifting of responsibility are the things that you have to be very concerned about.
Continue your thought.
I was going to say that, again, the concern here is that the RMM contract that you sign is very one-sided in favor of the RMM provider, and then you have a contract with a customer that makes you responsible for what's going on within their environment. And they have a breach, and now you're getting sued. And when your lawyer goes to look at your agreement with the RMM tool to evaluate whether they could be brought in, they may conclude that, you know, based on this agreement that you're signing, you don't have a very good case, even though fault lies with the RMM provider.
Yeah, and that's what we want to avoid, right? As an industry, as a profession, we want to avoid a conclusion of this where the outcome is the MSP is the sole carrier of risk, both for the vendors that they bring to the relationship, but also for their customers, indemnifying them of any risk. And so just to be clear, we're not talking about the MSP putting all of the risk onto the vendor. We're just asking, you're looking for an apportionment, and maybe not even an apportionment, but just a clearly articulated set of conditions where, for example, the RMM vendor or the vendor of choice is impacted, is the cause of a breach, in that scenario, you wouldn't want a limitation of liability or any other exclusionary language that would push it off to the MSP. True?
That's absolutely correct. And most importantly, what you need is a situation where fault and responsibility are clearly delineated. Nobody is going to say, we want the RMM vendor to be responsible for things that it didn't cause. What we're talking about here is the extent to which the RMM vendor will be responsible for things that it did cause, their employees' negligence, defects in the software, failure to patch, vulnerability. These are the types of things that we're not trying to get the RMM vendor to be responsible for being an insurance company for risks that it didn't create. What we're saying is, if you're a reputable RMM vendor, then you should stand behind your product. And if your product or your people cause injury to the MSP's clients, then they should stand behind that with either indemnity or limitations of liability that are reasonably calculated to allow the MSP and its customers to be made whole for the injuries that are caused by the negligence of the RMM vendor or defects in the tools.
And but that's an important point for everyone out there listening. So Rob, clarify, if you will, and expand on that last point, which is it's not just the negligence of the MSP vendor, it's negligence and or the general the through no fault of their own, something bad happened that came through the platform.
Well, you know, the reason that something bad happened will always be at issue in a lawsuit. You know, nobody is going to be held responsible, for example, for the criminal acts of third parties unless they had reason to know and failed to act. So there's always going to be a reasonableness standard. But when I'm talking about defects in the product, what I'm saying is, you know, the product is supposed to be warranted to run and operate in accordance with the documentation or to be suitable for the purpose with which it's used. These are sort of warranty type issues, right?
Sure.
What is it that's being sold? You know, are you selling me one thing and I'm getting something else? Is there a vulnerability in your agent that a reasonably prudent company in your position would have closed? So it's always going to be a sort of a reasonableness test. But the issue that we're trying to address here is there will be things that are caused by the RMM provider that result in injuries and claims and potentially injuries to the MSPs and their customers. And when we talk about one-sided contracts, what we're talking about is contracts that preclude the MSP and its customers from being made whole in those situations.
So if the MSP is dealing with this from the vendor community, the vendors that they're dealing with, then they also have the same risk potential or the risk issue with their clients who are also saying the same thing. And maybe they're saying it unwittingly in some cases. Well, I'm dealing not only with the MSP, but I'm also dealing with a bunch of tools the MSP is bringing down. Does that help the MSP in their argument to the tool vendors, the software vendors, to say, look, if you want me to represent your stuff out there to the market, you need to be flexible in your agreement? Is that a winning argument in your opinion?
I think it is. Of course, it's all going to be a function of negotiating leverage, right? I think that an MSP that's got, you know, thousands and thousands of endpoints is going to have a lot more leverage in a negotiation with an RMM provider than a startup with one customer. Because ultimately, the RMM provider is going to be like all software vendors. They're going to be evaluating the deal and their willingness to be flexible on risk balancing terms related to the agreement is going to be commensurate with the attractiveness of the deal. And so my guess is that only the largest MSPs are going to be in a position to have the bargaining power to get RMM providers to move off of the risk balancing strategy that's evidenced in their current agreement.
Well, that could be the case. I mean, the bigger providers typically do have much more leverage, but if suddenly hundreds or thousands of MSPs negotiating new or renewal agreements with these vendors suddenly start bringing up these issues, that could be a moment of potential change, could it not?
Absolutely, and I think the key there is that the MSPs need to engage their counsel to advise them on the imbalance in these agreements so that before they enter into them, you know, someone can advise them on what they mean. And to the extent that they are one-sided or expose the MSP or its customers to risk related to privacy and security claims, then the lawyer can propose revisions to the agreement. And I agree with you. If it becomes sort of a market standard that MSPs will expect RMM providers to bear more of the risk than they currently do, then you'll start to see changes. We've seen it in public cloud. You know, in public cloud, when we first started, the typical limitation of liability for a public cloud provider was 6 months of services revenues for the solution that gave rise to the claim. And today, for enterprise customers entering into public cloud deals, the market is three times the amount paid or payable under the whole term of the contract.
Big difference.
And it happened in the way that you described. People that were entering into public cloud started demanding, you know, more favorable risk balancing terms, and the market moved in a direction where the public cloud providers were taking on more responsibility. And I think the same thing could happen with the RMM market as well.
So that's promising. I take your words at their face value, and I think that's promising. It may not happen immediately, but the core point, as I hear you speak, is that MSPs need to stand up. They at least need to bring it to the attention of their sales reps, start to, and I'm, you know, any guidance you have would be great, but start with the sales reps and say, look, I've got a problem with these two paragraphs of your agreement, and my legal counsel is saying I should do this, and can you do this for me? Is it as simple as just starting there?
Here's how markets move. The person who's buying the software says to the sales rep, we like your solution. We're considering you and your top competitor, and your top competitor is willing to be more flexible on these terms. Will you match what they're offering? Will you exceed what they're offering? And that's how it works, right? Because if one vendor knows that they're going to lose the deal to their competitor over a particular term or terms, and they know the competitor is willing to be more flexible than what they're currently being, there's only so many deals they're going to be willing to lose before they adapt and begin to compete on the basis of terms and conditions. But in order to execute that, what you have to do is get pretty far along with one or more vendors and really be able to evaluate apples to apples. What are the terms and conditions being offered and how do they compare to each other?
As we move towards this hypothetical, hopefully realistic future point where that happens, the MSP is now dealing with the vendor contracts that they have and also dealing with the clients that they have to, you know, continue to service. What guidance would you give to the MSPs as they sit in this kind of limbo where they are shifting, they're balancing the risk between client and subservice organizations / vendors? How do they sit in the middle and not just survive, but how do they just remain relatively risk averse?
Well, I think that, assuming the position you're already in a bad contract with an RMM provider, the parts that you could control are your agreement with the customer. And in the agreements that I draft for managed service providers, I make it very clear that the MSP is not responsible for claims that result from third-party solutions or claims that result from third-party negligence, even if they're bringing them to the deal, even if they're managing those tools. And so that's one way to do it. You know, your customer contracts have to be reevaluated, and you have to make sure that to the extent that the RMM provider has put you in a position of risk, that you eliminate that risk by entering into appropriate contracts with your customers. The second area of risk mitigation is through insurance. If you have professional liability insurance, cyber liability insurance that covers you and your customers in the event of claim, it really doesn't matter that much in the end who was at fault. Your insurance provider is likely going to offer a defense to you if you get sued, and your insurance company's lawyers will sort out the relative responsibility. In other words, if your insurance company thinks that the RMM provider is at fault, they're going to bring a lawsuit against them. They're going to bring them in, and they're going to try to figure out who exactly is at fault. But if you have insurance, you're going to be in a much stronger position to have the resources in terms of legal defense and the carrier behind you to litigate a dispute where you might be caught in the middle between the customer and the RMM solution provider, whereas without that insurance, you could be in a very significant problem facing very high legal fees and uncertainty with respect to outcomes that the insurance is designed to cover.
So to summarize, the MSP has the following tools currently. They can negotiate and they can modify their current managed services agreements with their clients, mentioning risk. They can supplement that with appropriate insurance that would augment that contract agreement. And then the third, which is the more further removed and hopefully sometime in the near future, is the agreement with the vendors and using that as the third balancing act, if you will, of just making sure this risk is distributed across multiple parties so that no one party is, whether that's vendor, MSP, or customer, is unduly burdened. I mean, is that a utopia? Or is that realistic?
No, I think that's valid. And I think that, you know, you put into the mix the RMM solution provider's insurance company, right? Because we don't want the RMM solution provider to bear an undue amount of risk, but provided that they have appropriate professional liability insurance, that you use that as the primary source of risk transfer. And then all the parties, the end users, the MSPs, and the RMM solution providers are reasonably protected where the main solution for risk transfer is insurance.
Good advice as always. ScottandScottLLP.com. Is that correct, your website?
That's correct.
Go to ScottandScottLLP.com. If you are not represented, if you haven't had a managed services lawyer, and I don't know if you like Scott and Scott being referred to as that, but you represent a lot of MSPs. And so I like it. I like to call you guys a managed services law firm, but you have a lot of experience in this. You certainly have written a lot of agreements, reviewed a lot of agreements for MSPs. And if you haven't had that done lately, go get them reviewed today, because I think Rob and his team can really do a great job and get you kind of squared away and at least review that risk that you might be taking on unnecessarily. And, you know, if it's not necessary, why do it, right? Well, that's it for today. Rob, thank you very much for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Charlie, my pleasure. Always good to talk to you.
And until next time, I hope you enjoyed the program. Leave your comments if you have questions for Rob or myself. Love to have them email us. or leave a comment on the website. And until next time, this is Charles Weaver. This is the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.